Well, God, we thank you for the joy of the Lord that is not circumstantial. It's not based on stuff. It's not based on whether people like me or not. It's not based on whether everything is going my way or not. But it's based on how much love you have. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. We are the object of your love, Lord. We'll constantly be amazed, Lord, in eternity. When we bow before you, we cast our crowns at your feet, Lord, that you chose us, that you loved us, that you cleansed us, that you took away our sin and made us part of the family of God. There's nothing so amazing, Lord, as your love. And we praise you today with joy in our hearts. Help me with this word, Lord, I pray. Humbly in Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you briefly today about the true wonder of Christmas. The true wonder of Christmas. There's so many things that are wonderful about Christmas. And, you know, we could reflect on all the joys. And we could reflect on how much fun it is for the children. We could reflect on the good memories that we have. How many of you have some good memories about Christmas? All right. We can reflect on the fact that people are more open at this time of the year to spiritual things. They even call it the season of miracles. And, of course, people don't totally understand what they're saying when they say that. A lot of people, you know, Christmas is a season of miracles. But it really is, because God did a miracle in sending Jesus to the earth. He did the greatest miracle of all. But there are a lot of other people who reflect on unmet expectations. So there's the glass half full, and then there's the glass half empty, depending on what you want to think about, right? Now, there's people who think about the sad memories of Christmas. There's people who think about the days gone by. There's people who think about, you know, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. There's people who think about, how come nobody wants to invite me over? You know, whatever it is, they get all sad during Christmas. So today I'm going to try to speak to both sides of the glass today, okay? So you all pray for me, okay? The true wonder of Christmas. Let's start at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 prophesied about Jesus 700 years before his birth. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this about Jesus 700 years before his birth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord our God shall perform this. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the one that the Bible describes as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. When Jesus came to this earth, it changed everything. Everybody say, it changed everything. It changed everything. Nothing was ever the same again. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name is my refuge. His name is my healing. His name is my hope. His name is the highest authority. His name is that name by which all the demons tremble. Hallelujah. He's been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I think we need to be renewed in a sense of wonder today. It's so easy to get worn out. It's so easy to get burnt out. It's so easy to operate even emotionally on a deficit. How many of you have ever been running on empty? How many of you have ever been feeling burnt out? You know what it's like to be emotionally drained and running on empty. I think it's important that we renew ourselves in the Holy Spirit today. I think we need to do what the definition of Wonderful says. It says it's a feeling of amazement, admiration, caused by something beautiful, remarkable, or even unfamiliar to us. I want us to be renewed today by the Holy Spirit in this way, a feeling of amazement, admiration for God, caused by something beautiful. He is altogether lovely. Amen. There's no one more beautiful than Jesus, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. The fairest of 10,000 and the bright and morning star. He's remarkable. He's beautiful. He's amazing. When he did his wonders and miracles in the New Testament, people were constantly amazed. You see that word amazed. And everything he did was wonderful. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil because the Lord was with him. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. I was thinking of that song the other day. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You hear it on the radio all the time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Gets in your head, right? Well, it can be the most wonderful time for Christians. Amen. As we reflect on who God is, as we reflect on the gift that he gave us, as we reflect on what the incarnation means, what God coming to earth actually means for us, the benefits we receive. But for others, it's not really the most wonderful time at all. But today I'm hoping that you'll be renewed in all the things that really matter, whether you have a big tree or a small tree, whether you got to go to, you know, the islands this year on vacation or not, whether or not, you know, you get 10 Christmas cards in the mail or 100 Christmas cards or no Christmas cards. Amen. Our joy is not circumstantial. Can you say amen this morning? I pray that as Christians we will guard our hearts and minds from being influenced, overly influenced by the world. The greatest influence, listen folks, listen to what I'm saying this morning. The greatest influence in our life every day should be the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Those are the three greatest powers to influence me as a believer, as a Christian. In the world, we see brokenness. We see anxiety. You don't have to look too far. Turn on the news. You see the condition of our country divided. You see hatred. You see fear, anxiety. People worried about what's going to happen in the future. The stock market went down almost 600 points this week. God wants us to be renewed this morning. Can it truly be a wonderful time for us? I ask you this rhetorical question. Can it be a wonderful time for us? I believe it really can if we consider the true wonders of Christmas. I believe God wants to give us a sense of awe and amazement and even a childlike faith. Did you ever? What I love the most about Christmas, honestly, is watching children. That's honestly my favorite part of Christmas, to see how they react, to see how they love to open their toys and how they just are so amazed by the littlest thing. You give them a little stick, you know, a little figure, action figure, and they'll play with it for hours, you know. I remember when I was a child, what a big deal it was to get an Erector set. You know, that was something you put together, you know, it was like Legos, but it was made out. Any of you ever remember an Erector set? Okay, those of you giving away your age here, all right? It was so cool. I remember one time we got a dartboard with rubber darts, you know, and you threw it at the dartboard. I mean, we played with that for days, you know. We've come a long way from those days. But I felt like God was telling me to tell you to cultivate and come back to the heart of a child. A true sense of wonder is lost in our adult world because we become hard. We become worn out. We become cynical, skeptical. Come on. Tell the truth. We need to remember this is Jesus' birthday. And I think the children say it best. There's a YouTube video I want you to see with children singing Happy Birthday, Jesus. And Lenray, if you would get the lights, take a look at this. Tell me if this doesn't stir your heart.
Hi.
Wow. Wow, if that doesn't touch your heart, check your pulse. Make sure you're alive. There are four wonders I'd like to leave you with this morning that I think can renew you in the Holy Spirit. If you think about these four things, first of all, the wonder of the fact that God actually came to this earth in the first place. It's called the incarnation. He left the splendor of heaven. He left all of his divine prerogatives. He laid aside his royalty, his royal robes, and all of the unity that he experienced for eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Imagine Jesus, who knew nothing but eternal bliss with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, for one time in history breaking into our world, coming to earth to experience life as a little baby. The Bible says he took upon himself the form of a man, not just a human being, but a servant. He didn't come as a king or a prince or royalty. He came as a servant to serve. I have not come to be served, he said, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Are you with me this morning? His humility. He could have come as a grown man. Adam was made as a grown man. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them as adults, right? But when he sent Jesus as a little baby. You talk about culture shock. Imagine the culture shock Jesus had to experience coming from heaven to earth. Are you with me? Here is the perfect image of God. Jesus, who lived in eternity, constant glory, perfection, communion with the Father and Holy Spirit. Now, for the first time, experiencing the limitations of a human body. Christ, through whom the Bible says the universe was created. He was the creator of all things. The divine heir to all the kingdoms of the world now lays aside his royal robes and unlimited power. In complete obedience to his Father's will, he comes into the narrow confines of time and space in a world where sin and Satan has ravaged mankind. Culture shock. Jesus, the honored Son of God, leaving the splendor of heaven to experience the brokenness, the darkness of our world. For the first time ever in eternity, he would know human feelings of hunger, pain, sorrow, grief, betrayal, and death. It's unthinkable, but it happened. God came into this world. God came to earth. That's what Christmas is about. That's the wonder of Christmas. That God would care enough about this messed up world. That God would care enough about the people of the earth to give his only son. Are you with me today? Can you think about Jesus for a second? As a young boy in local synagogue classes, when a rabbi opened the scroll and began to read from the book of Isaiah, here's little Jesus. At what point did he begin to understand that the prophet Isaiah was speaking about him? How did Jesus feel when one day in the synagogue in Nazareth, the rabbi opens a scroll and he says, today's reading is from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. Yet we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have all left God's path to follow our own way. Yet the Lord God the Father laid on him, Jesus, the sins of all of us. How did he feel when the rabbi read that? I'm imagining, you know, what this was like, that moment. I'm sure tears were probably coming down his eyes, thinking that that's you. That's your future. The great creator of all things came to this earth in the first place. It's one of the greatest wonders of Christmas. It's a true wonder. I love the song, and some of you heard it yesterday when Angel played it at the party. Mary, did you know? How many of you know that song? It's a favorite. This baby spoke the worlds into existence. This baby that you're holding will heal a blind man. This baby that you're holding will soon deliver you from your sins, Mary. And then one of my favorites in the song, this child you are holding is the great I am. Whew. Let that sink in for a second. She's holding God in her arms. The face that she kisses is God's face. The baby she's holding is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the great I am. God came to earth. What a wonder. And that's what we celebrate in this Christmas season. Number two, the wonder of heaven's light overcoming darkness. That light shone into the world and filled all the dark places, especially the dark places in our hearts. Can you say amen? John says, in him was life, and his life was the light of men. John, the beloved disciple, goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that God's light is greater than any darkness. Amen. So let your light shine before men. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. Hallelujah. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. His light has shined into my heart, giving the knowledge of the Son of God. Imagine a world without light. People who live up by the North Pole have 6 months of darkness. Wow. Any of you ever been up to the North Pole or that? It's like, are you crazy, Pastor? What, are you kidding me? We're islanders, man. We're from the Caribbean. Like, and I'm Sicilian, so, you know, I'm from South too, South Italy, you know, so. But seriously, 6 months of darkness. Can you imagine a world in deep darkness? Where violence fills the world. Where there's anarchy. Where there's hatred. There's unbridled fear. And all the bad people are having their way. But one day God sent his Son from heaven, a light to shine in the darkness. Hallelujah. A light that breaks the power of Satan's hold over mankind. A light that not only exposes the true nature of things and shows you what's really going on, but a light that can transform your very heart and life. You see, it's one thing to take a flashlight on a dark night. You ever been on a highway where there's no lights? Got a flat tire? And hopefully you have a flashlight in your glove compartment, right? You take the flashlight, you shine it on the tire. And as a good, smart, intelligent, red-blooded man, you say, honey, we have a flat tire. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Well, I look in the trunk. I look in the trunk, and I see that there's no spare tire in the trunk. Honey, we do not have a spare tire. Let me shine the light on the tire again. Maybe it'll get better. And I stand there holding the flashlight on the tire, hoping that somehow the beam of light will make my tire better. But see, that's the natural light. But the light of God can transform whatever it touches. Hallelujah. God's light can take you out of darkness. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, it says in Corinthians, into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, where there is light and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Spiritual darkness is the greatest darkness of all. Yes. Remember the Pharisees who were accusing the man who was born blind and saying, what's wrong with you? How come you were healed on the Sabbath? And then the Pharisees asked Jesus to say, are you accusing us of being blind? And Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you would admit you were sinners, then you would be able to see. But since you think you're perfect, you are blind. Did you get that? He just turned the table right on the Pharisees. They were accusing him because he healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And he said to them, you don't even realize you're sinners. You think you're perfect. And actually, you're blind. It's the light of heaven that we need. And thankfully, as I said, God's light has the power to transform. It's not just to reveal what's wrong. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. So if you stay in fellowship, being in fellowship is walking in the light. Reading your Bible is walking in the light. Doing good instead of evil is walking in the light. Obeying the word of God is walking in the light. Coming to church on Sunday on a rainy day is walking in the light. So as we walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And when we fellowship with one another, we pray for one another. And we say, wait, brother, I went through that. Don't respond that way. Don't be provoked by the devil. I can tell you, God's going to help you. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We pray for one another. Are you with me today? So the light has the power to transform us. That's the true wonder of Christmas. Number three, the wonder of his peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My perfect peace. This is John 14:27 in the Amplified. My perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And then it says in the Amplified, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. You need to take a second and think about the fact that God's peace is not like the peace of this world. What is it? It's interesting that Jesus makes a distinction and actually says there is peace of the world. He says, the peace I give you is not like the peace of this world. So my question is then, what is the peace of the world? If Jesus said there's two kinds of peace, there's my peace, and then there's the peace of the world, what is the peace of the world? When everything's going good. When everyone likes you. Amen. When the car doesn't have a flat tire. Amen. Whatever it is, it's circumstantial. And some people make a foolish connection with stuff to where, you know, if stuff, you know, is there and you have what you want and you feel people are liking you or whatever it is, then you have peace. But the peace of Christ is something that's eternal and it's internal. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's eternal and internal. Pastor Angel talked about it last Sunday when she was sharing in the offering. Jesus was sleeping on the boat in the middle of the storm. And the storm was getting worse and worse. And the disciples who were, some of them were fishermen, you'd think they would be, you know, better sailors than that. They were terrified. And they said, Lord, the boat is going to sink. Don't you care? And they went and shook Jesus and woke him up. And Jesus got up and he just said, shh, peace, peace, be still. And I love the way some people, I think it was Brother Jakes I was listening to last week, T.D. Jakes. He says, what Jesus was doing was taking the environment that was inside of him, the environment of the kingdom of God, which was within him, and the peace that he was experiencing while he was taking a nap, and he declared externally what he was feeling internally. That's the difference between the world's peace and the peace of God. When you are a part of the kingdom of God, you experience the kingdom blessings and the kingdom benefits. And one of those blessings is God's peace, his own personal peace. Not just an objective kind of peace like that, you know, like luck, in other words. A lot of people think that, you know, well, good luck. You know, I hope everything works out. But God's peace is tangible. It's something that he gives us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You ever see a baby asleep in its mother's arms? Or dad? Wow, that's a picture of peace, isn't it? We were at a meeting, when was it, Monday night? Tuesday night. And one of the ministers that we relate to, a presbyter, had a brand new 8-week-old granddaughter. And she was just sleeping like a little angel in his arms. It was his most beautiful, beautiful sight. When Angela was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, you heard the story. Her blood pressure went up and she had to be checked. And thank God she's okay. Thank God for that. But through the night, we had an amazing peace, even though we didn't know what was going on. Her blood pressure had actually gone over 200. That's pretty high. That's very high. And yet, I have to say for both of us that neither one of us was panicking. God was carrying us. God was carrying us. The wonder of His peace. Hallelujah. Isaiah said it so well. The Prince of Peace is one of His names. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. There's no end to His peace. When you go and share Christ with people, don't go and bring a hellfire and brimstone. Go with your sandals of peace. The Bible calls our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So when you go into a home, may the peace of the Lord be upon this house. Speak the peace of the Lord. When you pray in your neighborhood, walk around the block and pray, Lord, I pray that the peace of God, where there's trouble, where there's strife, Lord, where mom and dad are not getting along and the children are out of order, Lord, I speak the peace of the kingdom of God in this place. Wherever you go, be an emissary of peace. Hallelujah. Be an ambassador of peace wherever you go. Because that's what we're called to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And finally, the last one, the wonder of His love. How could we leave that out? The wonder of His love. Love came to earth. For God so loved the world that He gave. He could have left us all alone to figure this out for ourselves. But can you imagine a world without love? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches to the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. I don't care what kind of background you have, what kind of mess you've been in, what kind of burden you're facing, the love of God is greater. Hallelujah. God's love is patient. It is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. God's love is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not easily provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Have you ever met people who keep a list of all your mistakes? And anytime an argument starts, they may not have a physical list, but they remember everything that you did. But remember, Liberty Mutual doesn't hold a grudge. Never mind. Where's Brother Seymour? Brother Seymour, he liked that one the other day. God doesn't hold a grudge. He forgives our offenses. Aren't you glad God is patient? Aren't you glad God is kind? That He's not jealous. He does not brag. He's not arrogant. He does not keep a record of wrongs. I'm glad I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself and the truth is not in. But if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you. The love of God is the true wonder of Christmas, Lord. That You would trust Your Son into this world, Lord, in trust. That He would fulfill the mission that You called Him. And show the world the full extent of His love. You read in John chapter 13, Jesus gets down and washes the disciples' feet. The Bible says, and now He shows them the full extent of His love. Every once in a while, I need to have my soul washed. You get messy in this world. You get some dirt on your feet. You get some attitude in your mind. And yet, Jesus is still willing to wash us. Not just one time. Amen. Are you glad this morning? Not just one time. And friends, I want to leave you with this. And we can know experientially ourselves the love that God has. When Jesus was praying in John 17, I don't have time to develop this fully, but just follow me for a second. He was saying, Father, I pray for my followers, my disciples, my believers, that they would know and experience the love that You have for me. That the very love, this is the last verse of John 17. He says that the love You have for me will be in them. The same love that God has for Jesus is the love that He has for the believer. When you invite Christ, that's what Jesus prayed. Read it when you go home. The love that You have for me, Jesus says, will be in them, and I myself will be in them. Amen. Wow. Amen. And then if that's not enough, Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know this love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that the more of God's love fills your heart, the more of God you have, because God is love. As I'm reading this, what I'm seeing here, it says that we can know, experience, the word gnosko, to know, experience, experientially, the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And as we grow in that love more and more, we become full to the full measure of the fullness of God. You are never more like God than when you are loving. Turn to your neighbor and say that. You are never more like God than when you love. Because God is love. And we can know experientially the love of God. That's the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of God coming to earth. The wonder of His light overcoming darkness. The wonder of His personal peace in us. And the wonder of being filled with the love of God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the true wonder of Christmas. Hallelujah. The wonder of God coming to earth. The light shining in a dark place. Hallelujah, Lord. The love of God. The truth of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the true wonder of Christmas. Your peace, Lord.